Thank you, Brother Tim. If you would open your Bibles tonight to the New Testament book of Romans, chapter 13. Romans 13 and verse 11. When you have found that, if you would please stand for the reading of the Lord's Word. Romans 13, verses 11 and 12. And that, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Amen. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for just a moment. Heavenly Father, I come before you tonight in the precious name of Jesus. Father, there's no amount of works that we can do or deeds that we can do that could merit the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but I'm asking you in your mercy and in your grace that you would anoint the Word of God tonight. Lord, that you would cause it to call out the hearer, to speak to them, to move up on them in a mighty way. And I'm believing you, Lord, that you're going to do the things that you've talked to me about. I'm going to believe you, Lord, that you're going to move the way that you suggested to me that you're going to move. We're going to believe you. We're going to trust you. We're going to depend upon you. And I stand here tonight in utter dependence upon the Holy Spirit to move and to touch and to bless and to have your way. And Father, we're asking it tonight with faith believing, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. And everyone said amen and amen. Tonight is probably going to be a little bit different than I'm accustomed to giving a word, but as the Lord gives it, that's what you do. The past number of months, I would say, is, I don't know how you are, but I'm always watching. I'm always listening. I've got my ear to the ground, so to say, and I'm always probing, if you will, the Holy Spirit on what's going on, what's moving, what's shaking, what needs changed, what needs fixed, what needs a set of nippers, what needs a line, what needs a saw, so it just becomes a state of mind for me. That's what watchmen do, by the way, we watch. And so it's been a number of months now, and it was just the other day that I was in my devotional time in my office, and I began to seek the Lord about some things that He had put on my heart that I had seen, that I had heard, and that had come my way. And when you hear negative things for so long and you see negative things for so long, you tend to get a little calloused. I know you thought I was going to say negative. But you tend to get a little less sensitive to what's going on. And I have seen so many things, as you've heard us tell so many times, of what's been going on in the church world that it gets discouraging at times. When you see people that are having what they call church, and yet it's really not church, they have a gathering of sorts, and they do some singing, and there's some talent and entertainment that comes out to the platform, and then a so-called minister of some sort will get up and behind his little water stand he'll give a little 20-minute ditty or whatever, and I guess today they're having conversations, and if I wanted a conversation, I'd just go home and get all the conversation I can handle there. Some of you will get that later. And you see these things, and of course, you know, I know all about the spirit that is behind it. I know what is going on. But then you've got different family members that call and they talk to you and they're going through this trouble and they're going through that difficulty. And I'm talking about people that at one time were born again, that were saved, that were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're going through these life-changing ordeals, and the questions that are coming are quite surprising, because you would wonder if they had any faith at all, and you were wondering if they were serving God at all, and you were wondering where in the world they'd been all of this time, knowing how we were all raised on the same Pentecostal way, if I can say it that way, and it gets the mind to wondering, and so all of these things come together, and then you've got the world on the outside that is coming in different waves and in different forms, that are trying to discourage you from being what God created you to be, that are trying to discourage you from being the called out one, that are trying to discourage you from answering the call that God has placed on your life, that is trying to prohibit you from exercising your God-given right to be a child of God in a dark and a dangerous world. And all of these things are coming in at once. And it was, like I said the other day when I was in devotions, that I asked the Lord, what in the world is going on with the church? And I had stumbled across this old recording of a Pentecostal preacher out of Belfast, Ireland, and he was in this particular church of his, and I watched this service, and as they began to sing the songs, and they were all songs that I know anyway. Of course I know a lot of songs some of you don't know. It's a vault. And they were singing these songs, and the preacher was barely leading them, a lot like me. He didn't have a, you know, super entertaining kind of voice, and was just kind of leading in praise and in worship. And as I was watching this old service, before long, you could see it on the faces of those that were getting into the song. You could see hands begin to raise up across the auditorium. You begin to see people with their eyes closed, and it wasn't too long, and you begin to see tears roll down their face as the songs that they were singing became real to them. And I thought to myself while I was watching this, and I could sense the Spirit of God from this service that was so long ago, and I began to pray, and I said, God, where is it? I don't understand. We go in, church in, and church out, week in, month in, year in, and it just goes on and on, sometimes decades in and out, and nothing ever seems to move, and nothing ever seems to change. And I rehearsed into the ears of the Lord how many times He has anointed me to preach His Word in just a certain way, and how many times He put out a clarion gospel call to those that would come and hear the Word of God and respond, and how there is a difference in the way that there used to be a response and the way there's a response now. And I said, God, what is going on? What is it going to take? Where in the world are we in this present day church world, that we no longer have to respond to the moving and the operation of the Holy Spirit? That we no longer pay the price to do what it takes to get the moving and the operation of the Holy Spirit in our midst? What is it that is going on? I hadn't yet been asked to preach from pastor, and thank you, brother, for the opportunity anyway. And I was just sitting there and musing on these things, and I began to thumb through the Scriptures, and the Holy Spirit began to touch my mind, and this particular verse come to the forefront of my mind in dealing with these things. He says, and that knowing the time. How many of you know the time? And I don't mean on your watch or on your iPhone or whatever other electronic device you carry around, but how many of you know what time it is? You've heard it so many times that we are living in the last of the last days. And if there could be a proverbial clock put to the day and hour in which we live, it's very close to midnight. It is close to the coming of the Lord. You've heard it before. You're going to hear it again. We are close to the rapture of the church. It is the next great event, even though it is but another sign of the second coming of the Lord. Do you hear me? When I say the rapture of the church is beginning to take place, it jogged my mind just a few days ago as I sat and talked to somebody on the phone who was distraught, and I began to tell them, listen, it is too late in the day to allow yourself to be dragged down. It is too late in the day to, and listen to my words carefully, to allow yourself to be dragged through the mud. It's too late in the day to allow yourself to lay down the armor that you have once borne. It is too late in the day to lay down that has come into your ears from a long time ago. It's too late in the day for you to give ear to what the devil is saying. It's too late in the day for you to give in to everything that the world is trying to pull you to do and get you out of living in a right relationship with God. It's too late in the day to be going through these things. You might say, well, Brother Cooley, that's not very compassionate. I'm here to tell you this morning there's a time for compassion and there's a time for a word that comes from God that puts a little string under your neck and lifts you up. There's time that there has to be a word from God that pulls out a little set of nippers and he calls them nippers. For us, they were gardening shears. And anyway, they're the same thing, and they begin to trim and do. And then there's a time for a saw to be brought forth, and it cuts down. The Word of God, the Scripture says, is there for three things. For reproof. For rebuke. What's the third one? You get what I'm saying. Two out of three of those is negative in its context. That deals a death blow to the movement of this last day that says that everything must be done, and you know how they say it, with love. I would surrender to you tonight that if they're not giving you the truth, they're not giving you love. I would surrender to you tonight that if they're not willing to tell you when you're doing wrong, that they're not loving you. I would be here tonight and willing to tell you that if they're not laying the line straight and keeping it narrow as the Scriptures give us guidelines to do so, that they are not, whatever they're giving you, it's certainly not in love. You see, love is not the way that we always picture it to be in our mind. You know how we are. I don't want to say this, but I live in a home that is filled with love. Not like you're thinking. Meaning, forgive me, dear. My wife watches this Hallmark stuff. Listen, it'll drive a man insane. I'm close. I mean, it'll drive up a wall. I mean, it's everything is this lovey-mushy. Everybody's some sort of broken couple that's going to get together again, but only under duress. And every single one of them has the same plot and the same finish and just different characters from time to time. And so, you know, that's how people's mindset is when it comes to love. And if you're saying something to me and it's not making me feel good, then it's not love. And if you're doing something in my general direction and it's not making me happy or making me feel good about myself, then you're not loving me. And I'm here to tell you tonight, none of that could be further from the truth and what it is. And the fact of the matter is, the Bible says that if you love them, you will warn them from me and you will tell them. I don't know of any other way to show love to somebody that is careening down a road towards judgment that is going to wind up in hell, other than standing out on the dark road with a lamppost trying to wave them down and say, hey, the bridge is out ahead, and if you keep on going, you're going to perish. I don't know any other way to say, you know, I could say, you know, I suppose I like you. I suppose I love you in a mean sense, a way to say that crude sense to say that I love you. But if I really cared for you, I'm going to warn you of what's up ahead of you. And the Lord brought this word to my mind, and He said, I want you to tell them that for far too long there are too many that have been asleep in my house. I kind of figured it would be that way. There are too many times, and I'm preaching at North Valley Assembly tonight. I'm not preaching down the road, so listen to me carefully. There are too many that come into the house of God and they sit there week after week and month after month, and they come in and they go out and they're virtually unchanged and they're virtually unmoved, and they virtually do not. If it weren't for the changing clothes, you wouldn't think anything changed about them. And no, I don't have a particular person in mind. I just know that the Lord told me to say it. But He said there's too many times that you're coming into the house of God and you're sleeping. I don't mean physically sleeping, although there are some that physically sleep in here. I'm not looking at nobody, because you know who you are. But the Lord's attention is. What do you mean, Pastor, by sleeping? I said the same thing to the Lord. Lord, if I tell them they're sleeping, they're going to look at me funny. They're going to say things. What do you mean by sleeping? And so the Lord brought me to another verse of Scripture, very famous portion of Scripture out of Isaiah chapter 64. First two verses, and it says, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence." Hear this, and here's the crux of it. "As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil." Did you hear that? How many have ever seen a pot of water sitting on the stove boiling? I'm just a curious kind of guy, and I'm always walking over and looking in just to see how active it's going to be before I put in the pasta. I'm from Iowa, but I'm half Italian. Some of you will get that later. And so I'll go over there, and you know how it is. You put the pot of water on the stove, and you reach down to the stove, and there's a pilot light that's already lit underneath there. And you turn the burner to just a certain thing. It gives a little click, and flames burst up out of the orifices that are there under the pot. And then you turn the flame up to where you want it to high, to where it's going to boil. And I'm always amazed by that. I stand back, and I always watch it for a few minutes. I know what it's going to do, but I want to see what it's going to do. And I'll sit there, and before long, that old stagnant water that is in that pot is just not doing much of nothing. But before long, the heat is applied to the bottom of the pan, and pretty soon you'll start to see little bubbles forming on the bottom of the pan. And then you stand there, and you stare a little bit longer. I've done this by experience, you know. And you stand there, and you stare a little bit longer, and pretty soon those bubbles begin to shoot to the surface. And then before long, it's not just a few bubbles, but the whole pan is just rocking and rolling and moving and shaking and jumping all over the place. And there is life that is going on in that pan while it sits on the stove. And yet the Bible says that when the melting fire burneth, the fire causes the waters to boil. And I said, "Lord, I understand that connotation. I remember in my mind when I would receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I remember how it took me from this quiet, shy person," which is what I usually am, to this boisterous big mouth that gets up there when he starts to preach and you can't shut him up. And I said, "I understand the difference, Lord, of what it takes from going to being calm, stagnant water to being on the fire long enough that it begins to boil and it begins to rise and it begins to move and it begins to shake." And I said, "Lord, what is it that you're saying?" I said, I mean, "I understand. You said, awake, thou that sleepest. But now you're saying that it's like a pot of water that needs to be boiled." And I don't know if you get what the Lord is saying already, but there's too many people that are coming into the Lord's house, and they are the pot of water, and they're sitting on the stove, but there's no pilot light. You understand what I'm saying? You got a pot of water there, but there's no flame that is licking underneath the pan to get the water to boil. You understand what I'm talking about? It's not that you've not been exposed to it. There's enough of the Spirit of God around here to light your pilot several times over. You understand what I mean? But you have come in and you've set your pan there, and there's no flame and there's no fire. You have the testimony. "I've been saved. I've been sanctified. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, whatever it is. But there's no flame under your pot, and there's no water that is boiling. You come into the house of God and you're dead week after week, and you're empty week after week, and you're dry week after week, and you don't understand what it's going to take. You're afraid to get around people like me, and you're afraid to get around people like Pastor for fear that something will get on you. Listen to me very carefully here tonight. It's the Lord, and the Lord is saying, you're spending too much time sleeping in my house. You brought your pot of water, but there's no flame, and there's no fire, and you're not allowing your water to boil. What is going on in the church is we are fast asleep. I said, Lord, I understand, and if I was going to preach a message on the baptism in the Holy Ghost, and I would maybe go a different... And the Lord said, no, listen to what I'm saying. And I began to listen to what the Lord began to show me, and He said, you know, when you got that pot of water on the stove, it doesn't matter what you put in there. Did you hear me? What is it that you're trying to say? He said, let me put it to you this way. He said, when I saved you and when I baptized you in the Holy Ghost, that was just the beginning of the flame. All of the flame licking underneath your pot of water came a little bit over time. And He said, look at it closer. He said, it is the moving and the operation of the Holy Spirit in your life that causes you to live, that causes your water to boil, that brings it to the surface. You understand what I'm talking about tonight? It is the Holy Spirit of God that God has already given you. That it is a maintaining fire. I'm not saying it the way I want to. I'm going to have to be abrupt. That flame that you once had that you have since let go out. You see, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is just the beginning. Pastor said it a couple of weeks ago. We don't want you to have less. We want you to have more. Oh, yes, we want you to have more. We want you to have more flames licking under your pot of water. We want you to have more fire of the Holy Ghost burning in your heart, burning in your soul. We want a greater move of God in you than what we've seen. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? But you have to position yourself for that to happen. It is not earned. Do you hear me? Don't come and tell me how many hours you spend in prayer. It doesn't matter. Don't come and tell me how many good deeds you have done. It doesn't matter. You cannot earn this gift from God. How many of you know you can't earn a gift? It is a gift from God. That's been the problem in the church for far too long. We thought we could earn it. And then we got just a little bit of pilot light going on, and all of a sudden we think we're a raging volcano, and we go out there in our own power and under our own control, and we're going to show forth the fruits of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit that we have. I'm not here to throw rain on your gifts of the Spirit, but listen to me very carefully. We want you to have more than what you have now. But you're not going to have more than what you have now unless you stop trying to be in control of it. Do you hear me? This is the Lord's word. You are not going to have more than what you have now unless you stop trying to control it. You've heard me say this before, and I guess the Lord isn't done having me say it. We got too many control freaks in the house of God. I have one word for you. Stop it. I said that with one breath. Stop it. The moment you begin to control it, God takes His hand off. Did you hear me? It's amazing. The baptism in the Holy Ghost is the one gift from God that you can never possess. But it possesses you. He said it this morning. I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me, and I in you. It's the divine entanglement. You see, serving God is not about paying obeisance and getting down and praying X number of hours a day and doing X number of Christian religious sort of thing. That's not serving God. I need to get through something here. The Lord told me to tell you here tonight that the only way that you can wake up,
The only way that you can get a flame back under your pot of water is you need to position yourself in the right position so that when God is ready to move on you, you're ready to receive whatever it is that the Lord has come to bring. Lord, what do you mean position myself? Am I supposed to be in prayer all the time? You know we can't pray all the time. And some of you don't pray some of the time. Some of you don't pray any of the time. We can't spend 24 hours a day in prayer. We have to eat. We have to work. We have to sleep. All of these things seem to run interference or counterintuitive to having that kind of a prayer. But you can stay in a state of mind of prayer all throughout the day. You see, how does God know that you're ready to receive what He's come to bring to you? It's not by the amount of hours that you say, I'm going to go and pray, or I'm going to go and read my Bible. And you know, we've all done it. We've sat down to read the Word, and half of it was Greek, and we didn't understand much of really what it was saying. And we walk away, and we're no different. Listen, that's not what it's about. It's about demonstrating to God how important He is to you. I'm going to say it again. The Christian life, in order to get in the right position where you can have the gifts of the Spirit of God and the fruits of the Spirit showing up in your life, is to position yourself to show to God how important God is to you. While I was watching that old church service or whatever, the Holy Spirit was getting my mind and He's saying, look at this, look at that, look at the other. You know, that's how the Holy Spirit works, by the way. Look at that. And He would show me this one particular individual that was singing this song, and it wasn't necessarily a great song, but whatever it was, it became very real to him very quickly. All of a sudden, his hand shot up in the air, and tears were flowing down his face, and you could look at him, and you could see he did not care who was standing next to him. You could tell that he did not care what route the song was going. You could tell that he did not care. All of a sudden, he was in that moment where he was demonstrating to God that the God that song was talking about was very real to him. And in just that moment, you see, it's about the moments. It's not about the hours spending on your knees, faking praying and doing those kinds of things. It's about those special moments where you have opened up your heart and God has allowed His Spirit to touch you. And in that moment of coagulation, if you can understand it that way, when you open up your heart and you begin to demonstrate to God, you're everything to me. You're far more important than my job. You're far more important than the next breath that I breathe. You're more important than going out and getting all the things that you want to get in this life. When you can demonstrate to God that He's everything to you, how do I do that, Lord? I was watching an old Jimmy Swaggart crusade from the early 80s. And he was in San Salvador, El Salvador. And it there were certain services during those meetings, unlike anything I've ever seen. I mean, the power of God would work tens upon tens upon tens of thousands of people in these stadiums, outdoors. Sometimes the wind was blowing, it didn't matter. Sometimes rain would come and go, and it didn't matter. Sometimes there would be interruptions from demonic spirits, and it just wouldn't matter. The Holy Spirit began to operate in some of these services, And this one particular service, and it's not one of their normally advertised services from that meeting. They just happened to pull a song, an excerpt from that meeting, and it happened to be Janet Pastel standing on the platform. And she opened up her mouth and she began to sing an old Dottie Rambo song. She began to sing that song, and the name of the song is "For What Earthly Reason?" If you've never heard it, look it up. I aim to tell you. It's moving. She began to sing those words. And instead of having the mindset of trying to minister to the people, all of a sudden the words of the song begin to minister to her. and you could watch it. You could visibly see it. The Spirit of God began to pour over her. She could hardly get the words out to the song. Tears streaming down her face. All that makeup was running. And you would look at that and say, what a mess. But no, 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 no. There's never been a more beautiful picture in all of your life. That picture where God has gotten through to the heart of somebody. And she began to sing just those easy words. For what earthly reason would the Heavenly Father send forth His only Son? To suffer in anguish. To pay for crimes He had not done. She begins to answer it in the song, and it says, I wept with the answer when I realized that the one earthly reason was me. The power of God came down in that place. You could see old Jimmy off to the side on the piano, not even touching the keys. He's hunched over and he begins to shake. You can see the Spirit of God moving. And the Lord said, do you see that? That's what I'm talking about. You position yourself to demonstrate to me that I'm your everything. That's what living in the Spirit is all about. You want the Holy Spirit to give you instructions? You want Him to lead and guide and direct your way? Position yourself. I got to say it differently. It's the Abrahamic movement. You see, God didn't tell Abraham where he was going. He just told him to go. And so Abraham packed up everything that he had, and even others. Maybe he wished he'd left behind. But he brought it all together, and he didn't know where he was going. But he started off down the road. You see, you don't always know what the Holy Spirit has in mind to do. But if you'll just position yourself, mile after mile, step after step, and God led Abraham to what we now know as Canaan land, the promised land. Where is the Holy Spirit sending us? We don't know. But if we'll position ourselves step by step and mile after mile, this is what the Lord told me to say. He said, you tell them that if they'll position themselves and they will put their interest in me and they will seek after me and they will open up themselves to be sensitive to me, then all of these things that they're worried about in their life, whether it be finances, whether it be something with their health, whether it be their relationships, whether it be climbing the ladder in the work world, or whether it be being socially, whatever it is that you do, all of those things that you are frantic and you're worried about, and those are the crisis hour things that you'll pray about. But God said that if you'll avail yourself to me, I will take care of every one of those things. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? God is saying, if you'll show me that I am everything to you, I'll show you what being everything to you is all about. You understand what I'm saying? I'm here to tell you tonight that the only way you can get there is to position yourself. Awake. Wake yourself up. Shake yourself from the dust of this world. I can't tell you how many times I've had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't understand what in the world you're doing. It sure ain't the way I'd go. That's obvious. Because the way I'd go would be worse than... I know you... Never mind. And I have to go to Him and I have to say, Lord, what in the world are you doing? I'll give you one. Sister Tammy and I have been at this church for a long time now. I got to tell you, that was not our plan.
I mean, some of you were nice and everything, but that was not our plan. I've pastored a few churches. I've been in ministry for 37 years. I've been doing this a long time. It was not in my plans to sit down in a local Assembly of God church and become part of the furniture. And I can't tell you how many times I've come before the Lord and saying, Lord, what in the round world are you doing? I mean, I can't. It's not. Let me say it that way you'll understand what I'm trying to get at. It's not Brother Thurber. God bless him. I believe he's God's man. There's no doubt about that to me. But it drives me nuts to listen to other preachers, knowing I'm nowhere near close to getting that mic. In my spirit, it disquiets me when there's things that need to be said. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about or not, but when you're called to preach and you got to sit in a chair, it's white knuckling. And God, what are you doing? Okay, so I've been here a couple of years. Okay, are you trying to show me something? What are you doing? You just take a step at a time. It's not time for you to leave yet. I know that just probably made some of you mad. You're hoping I'd be ready to go already. The Lord said, it's not time yet. Lord, and what are you doing with me? Because, you know the rehearsal. I've pastored churches. You know, I've been the head guy any number of times now. What do you want me to do here? He said, I just want you to simply obey. All of a sudden it dawns on you. It's positioning. So many preachers are out there doing everything they can to climb the church ladder. They want to get the next church that is bigger. They want to get the next church that is better. They want to get to the next church that has more money. They want to get to the next church that has bigger acclaim and bigger media presence to where they can be on. Listen, I have been a part of many of those things. And I have been a part of little mom and pop churches. And I got news for you here tonight. The Spirit of God moves more freely in the little mom and pop churches than He does in the big conglomerates that call themselves churches. You understand what I mean? I've been kicked out of a few of those, so I understand what I'm talking about. Oh, why were you kicked out of them? Because the way is straight and narrow. And when you don't go along to get along, you don't get to go. And that's all right with me. I don't have no desire to go where they're going. But I do have a desire to reach what we call Canaan land. I do have a desire to reach that place. And it's a spiritual thing to me. It's not a physical thing. I have a desire that even the people of North Valley Assembly of God come to a place where they understand what I'm talking about here tonight. And they shake themselves and they awake themselves out of sleep. And they put their pot of water on the stove and they crank up the flames. And they're not bashful about letting it go hot. Song come coursing through my mind the other day as I was driving down the road meditating on this, and the Spirit of God moved in my vehicle. I mean, to tell you what, it's a good thing I was on a side road, because somebody might have thought I was DWI or something. I don't know. I had to watch. I started swerving, but the glory came into my vehicle. And all of a sudden, the words to that old chorus used to flow through my mind that we used to sing all the time. Oh, I wish somebody would catch on fire. Catch on fire. Catch on fire. I wish somebody would catch on fire, burning with the Holy Ghost. We have relegated the burning in the Holy Ghost to speaking in other tongues and maybe a message in tongues and an interpretation. And that is certainly part of the Holy Ghost, but it's only the tip.
There is so much more that is involved in living in the Spirit and having the Holy Spirit of God dwell in your being. It's those moments in time when you position yourself and all of a sudden your heart is opened. And maybe it's just a little lyric in a song, or maybe it's a word that you'll hear somebody say, or maybe it's a word from the Word of God that comes leaping off the pages. But all of a sudden your heart is already open, and the Holy Spirit takes that thing and begins to germinate it inside of your heart. And all of a sudden that water that was stale and stagnant begins to ripple, begins to boil, begins to bubble. It begins to move. It begins to shake. And you say to yourself, what on earth is this for? You think the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for other people? No. It is for your relationship between you and God. It's not to put on a show. It is a wonderful gift that the Heavenly Father has bestowed upon us. For what reason? To shine back unto Him the goodness of God. To show back unto Him how great and how powerful He really is. Because when the Spirit of God comes, it's that formula that makes pigs fly. Did you hear me? It's that formula that makes the elephant climb a tree. Elephants can't climb trees. Yeah, I know. But if he had the Holy Ghost, he could. And all of those things that I'm talking about, these showy kinds of things, but it's not the show that we're to get involved in. It's the positioning. I need to say that again. It's not the show that we are supposed to turn our attention to. What's the old, I think it was an old country song years ago. Everything that glitters is gold or whatever. No, listen, everything that glitters isn't gold. It's not the show that we're to get involved with. It's the positioning. It's just the simply allowing ourselves to be used of God. It's just the simple positioning. It's the positioning of allowing the Holy Ghost to move upon our heart. It's the positioning of allowing the words to that song to have their utter way with you until you are a ball and crying, a sobbing sort of mess, and that's all right. Because in the eyes of God, it's a tenderizing moment. In the eyes of God, it's a moment where He is able to get to you. And in that moment, the Lord can speak to you. And in that moment, God can give you direction. Oh, I'm after something. It's in that moment of just simple positioning. You're not controlling how the Holy Spirit moves. That's not your job. Did you hear me? Had a guy come to me. It's been years ago now. Excited. Oh, he was so excited. Motives were all, they were all the right motives. But he had gone to this weird service somewhere. But he come back to me this one Sunday after church. I was standing in the back and others were, and he came up to me and he was so excited, Brother Cooley, I got it. And he was older than me. And I looked at him and I said, what did you get? He said, I got my words. I said, excuse me? You got what? He said, I got my words. And he spoke them out. Three or four little words. I said, brother, what in the world are you talking about? He said, this is my prayer language. I said, your prayer language? Yeah, the God of all glory, that's my prayer language between me and God. Those four words, those are my words. I said, brother, I'm sorry. But somebody's done lied to you. I don't know what language you know that only consists of four words. But there's none that I know of. And my Bible says that it's a heavenly language. Hello? And there's more than four words. I don't know what they are. I can't write them down. I certainly am not going to try to pronounce them without the Holy Spirit moving on me to do so. What are you saying? You don't own it. It must own you. I'm going to say it again. You don't own it. It must own you. Positioning. Positioning. Brother Cooley, how do I get on fire?
positioning.
When you're sitting in church and we're singing those songs, let the song become real to you. Some of you are too focused on how old the song is. Shut up. It does not matter how old the song is. Hello? And I got news for you. I'll live and die on them old songs. Hello? I'm not meaning to go there. Brother Cooley, that old stuff's not going to speak to the young people of today. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You know why? Because I was a young person when I was listening to old songs. And those old songs, and I don't mean just old by age, but they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. They were full of biblical doctrine. And as the Holy Spirit moved upon the heart of a songwriter to pen down words, they would pen down words. You understand those words are laced with the moving and the operation of the Holy Spirit. They are not just dead letter. They might be dead letter in a more conventional, hip, relative kind of church. They might be dead letter to them. But they are the essences of life. How many of you know what I'm talking about? They are the essences of life. And if you'll avail yourself, I don't know why it's just songs. Songs are important, but they're not everything. If you'll just avail yourself to what God wants to do, the Holy Spirit will nudge you and He will awake you out of your sleep. If you'll come before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what they got planned for church today. I don't know what the pastor's going to preach on. I don't know what songs they're going to... I don't even know if they're going to be in the right time on the songs. We struggle with that sometimes. In case you didn't know. We. And I don't know what they're going to do. But if you'll find a way, that's, forgive me, I feel it. That if you'll find a way to come down to where I am, in the middle of all that they're doing, and I'll avail myself to you, and there it is, positioning. You just position yourself. Because the God that we serve is the God that will bring the wood. Do you hear me? He'll bring the altar. He'll bring the utensils. He'll bring the fire. Everything that you need to live and move. Well, I got time. Some of your heart just sunk when I said that, I know. I want to go over something real quick. The other day the Lord was visiting with me in the Scriptures, and He said, I was looking at mostly the New Testament where in the ministry of Christ, and then the book of Acts thereafter, and the books that are after that, and all the miracles that were taking place at different times. And the Holy Spirit posed the question to me, did all of those happen all at one time? Well, no. Do you realize that some of these miracles and stuff that went on, that there was a lot of time in between them happening? I mean, we tend to look at the New Testament, we tend to look at the disciples, and we tend to look at the life of Christ, and we think that they're just walking around in super spiritual mode all the time, and nothing but good words, and nothing but miracles, and nothing but great happening. Do you know that that's not the way it was? You know that their lives actually were very similar to what we live today, a little different. But there were time and spaces between these great touches of God and these great miracles and stuff that were performed. I was like, okay, Lord, I think I understand that. And there had been a thought in this preacher's mind, and it just being a little
clear before you tonight that was, Lord, I've seen a number of things. I've seen this, been here, done that, done all these things that we could list off. And the thought that was in my mind was, but Lord, I don't really feel like I've really been used of you. Because when I read the scriptures, I see this happening. I see demons being cast out. I see lame legs walking. I see blinded eyes being opened. And I see sick, fevered brows being healed. And they get up and they begin to serve people after you've touched them. And I see lepers that come before you. And in a moment's time, they're cleansed and they're made clean. And then I see these great preachers that are preaching. And half the time, they're wanting to stone them and leave them dead outside of a city. And half the time, they're wanting to string them up. And half the time they're wanting to put them to death. And they're doing all of these things. And Lord, I don't know that you're using me the way I thought you would, because I thought I would see plenty of these things. And the Lord set me down one of these days and He said, I want you to sit down and I want you to take a look back. From the time that you were just a child, I have had encounters with the Heavenly Father. I mean spiritual things. And I sat down and I began to recount some of these things. The Holy Spirit brought them to my mind. I was 5 years old when I first saw angels. Now maybe you've never seen any. I don't know. Pray about it. It's something else, I mean to tell you. My family, we were living in this little dump of a house. Dad was a pastor and there were 8 of us kids. And some of my older siblings had gone off to some camp somewhere, and they were coming back that night, and there were tornadoes out all over the place and storms that were wreaking havoc all over my hometown there, and pretty soon the older ones got home and the power went out in the house, and there were no lights to be turned on. There was nothing to be done. You couldn't watch television, you couldn't do anything, and the hour drew late, and Mom and Dad huddled all 8 of us kids out into the living room floor, as little as it was, and there were a number of doorways that fed off of the living room, and the storm was great that night. And I remember as just a little 5-year-old boy laying down to go to sleep that night, and I was scared, I was worried. You could hear, I don't know if you've ever been near tornadoes or not, but they can be quite scary, and I've been around any number of them, and it gets real dead silent and real still, and then pretty soon you hear the wind begin to kick up and blow, but it doesn't sound like wind. It sounds like a freight train getting ready to come careening through your window. You understand what I'm talking about? And before long, you begin to feel a palpitation of a shake as that dangerous, terrible thing goes on by. And as a little kid, I'm laying there in the floor, and I'm worried, and I'm scared, when all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, I was wide awake, and I lifted up my head, and in every single doorway of my house, there was this gargantuan, clear, yet white, shining being that was there, and they were powerful, and yet they made not a move, and they said not a word, but they were angels from God, and they filled every doorway in my house. There have been times I have encountered the powers of darkness as a child, as the enemy would seek to thwart how I was living or trying to live, and I didn't even know how I was trying to live, but I've encountered them, and I've had them come and harass me at night at times, and they would pull at me in great fear, like a black cloud would come and hover over me at times, and all I could dare to do was just breathe the name of Jesus just enough, when all of a sudden the darkness would flee, and the fear was gone, and the powerful darkness of that being had lifted and gone off wherever it was that it had gone off to. What are you telling all of this stuff for? I'm telling you, the God that I serve is real, and the power of the Holy Ghost is real, and the Word of God is real, and the anointing is real, and if you'll just position yourself, you can understand these things that I'm talking about. Say Mark 16 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name. I wrote it down. In my name they shall cast out devils. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. In my name they shall take up serpents. And I got news for you. That's not like these churches in Kentucky that are putting God to a foolish test and lifting up these snakes and daring one of them to bite them while they prance around and dance around up. And they shall take. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He said, in my name. Now, I'm looking at some people tonight that I'm not sure you know what that means. It'd probably scare you to death to come into contact with somebody that was demon-possessed. But then again, there are some of you that are so hard-hearted, you might be sitting next to one and don't even know it. Or what about the shakiness that your faith feels when pastor calls a prayer line for healing? And you're trying to go up there, and the Lord has shown me, I've seen it. It's like you're trying to work up you can't work up real faith. You either have it or you don't. It's one of those things. You either have real faith that says, I believe, or you don't. Too many times, we don't. Do I have any believers sitting in here tonight that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that if somebody is sick and if somebody is diseased, that they can lay hands on them, and that in the name of Jesus we can pray the prayer of faith, and that God will raise them up from their bed of affliction? How many of you sitting here believe that tonight? Did you notice what the Bible said? The Bible didn't say to the preachers that believe, or to the preachers that do this, or to the preachers that do that. He said, but to them that believe. That leaves the door wide open to every believer. That if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe that God is heaven and He is King and Lord over all of this world, and if you believe that He sent His only Son to hang on a cross and die for you, and you've accepted that and He's come into your heart, and if you believe that He has sent the power of the Holy Ghost to abide in you, then you can believe whatever it is that is needed at the time, and you can pray, and God will move. No offense, but that was weak. I was preparing this, and in my mind, it's like the Lord was saying, yeah, this is what you're going to do. What am I going to do? They said, when it comes that moment in the message, when you're talking about having people come up to pray for, you're going to have them get up out of their chair, and you're going to pray for them. And yet no one moves. I'm going to say it again, language you can understand. If you're here tonight and you are sick in your body, you've been wrestling with something and you can't seem to get a hold of it, I'm asking you to get up out of your chair right now. I know I'm in the middle of a message. Altars are open all the time. And if you've got a sickness and you need God to heal and you dare to believe Him, I want you to get up out of your chair. I'm going to say it again. Now, get up out of your chair. And I want you to just listen to me. You're not coming to me. I want you to come and just stand down here at the front of this building for a moment and allow others the time to get up here. I want you to get up out of your chair. I'm just being obedient to the Lord. You've been wrestling with something in your body, and you... Oh, but Brother Cooley, I've prayed so many times. Even you all have laid your hand on me, so it doesn't matter. I'm obeying. What are you doing? I'm positioning myself. Are you ready to position yourself? How do you position yourself? You're just simply going to yield yourself to God. That's all you're going to do. So I'm going to ask you to do something here tonight. All of you that are standing up here, I just simply want you to lift your hands unto the Lord. How many believers do we have in the house tonight? Go ahead and stand up. How many believers do we have? How many of you believe that when we pray in the name of Jesus, that God can heal whatever it is they need? If you believe that here tonight, don't fool. You're not going to lie to God. If you believe that tonight, I want you to come down here and stand behind one of them right now. You're not in control of anything. You just let the Lord have His way. All you're going to do is pray the prayer of faith. I'll take just a moment longer. I don't know everybody's troubles. I know my wife's been dealing with debilitating migraine headaches that have caused her blood pressure to get to stroke levels at times. I know there are others that are suffering with joint conditions. There are some that are standing here tonight that have heart troubles, and I don't mean physical heart troubles. But they've been hurt and they've been wounded. And they're just as much a candidate for healing as anyone else standing here tonight. All across this auditorium, I want you to just forget about who's behind you, who's in front of you, who's around you. I just want you to lift your hands. And as a believer, because that's what you said, I'm asking you to just lift up your voice and pray the prayer of faith. And I want you to do it in Jesus' name. Not in the name of the preacher, not in the name of the church, but in the name of Jesus, the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. Lift up His name and begin to pray for them by faith in the name of Jesus. I'm going to pray with you, Heavenly Father. Right now, we come before You, Lord. And I'm asking You in the name that is above every name. There is power in that name. In the name of Jesus, God, break the back of migraine headaches. Break the back of blood pressure, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, begin to heal joints. Begin to heal backs. Begin to heal minds. Begin to heal troubled souls. Begin to pour out of Your Spirit, O God. We have availed ourselves. We have positioned ourselves here tonight. Open up the windows of heaven, Lord, and pour out of Your Spirit, I pray. We rebuke every false spirit in the name of Jesus. We rebuke every lying spirit in the name of Jesus. Every cloud of fear and torment and darkness, we rebuke you in Jesus' name. Every fear of tomorrow, He holds tomorrow. Tomorrow does what He says. Heal. Heal, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I don't mean a temporary healing. Lord, heal them from the top of their head down to the soles of their feet, oh Lord. Let the power of God course through their body. Lord, let them know that You're real. Heal them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, pour out of Your Spirit. We're positioning ourselves, Lord. Pour out of Your Spirit. Right now, in Jesus' name. Right now, in Jesus' name. Don't be afraid to say it out loud. Right now, in Jesus' name. Right now, in Jesus' name. Right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.